If you want to get the most out of our summer series, there's several things that you could do. Obviously, come. Be here on Sunday mornings. It's impossible for me to teach through the book of Proverbs during the summer, though. I'll just tell you, it's just impossible. I love Proverbs, and now that I've spent months studying it and writing about it, I love it even more. I'm passionate about it. There's so much in there that's just rich and awesome that God has given to us to help us with life. So I encourage you to come. I know we're all going to do vacations. We're all going to miss some weeks along the way. I understand that. You could, if you happen to miss, we do have our messages online. Usually a few days into the week, you can pick those up. If you want to read the book, I encourage you to do that. Someone asked me if it's digital. You can get it from Amazon digital if you prefer that. It's even cheaper. So you might want to get together in your small groups and discuss your study. As you read through Proverbs, if you're reading Wisdom Speaks, if you're reading or if you're meeting as a small group, you might want to use this time to just talk about what is God teaching you through the book of Proverbs, through our Sunday morning experience. I realize during the summer months, a lot of our small groups don't meet. I get that. But you might just want to get together with some of your Christian friends and have coffee and just talk about Proverbs and what is God teaching you through this experience. It always helps us as we discuss what God is doing in our life. You know, it's crazy the things that we talk about. We talk about some of the dumbest things. Isn't that true? You ever just sat around and listen to what people talk about? Most of it's kind of worthless. Why not talk about something eternal? Something that has value. Who cares what the Braves are doing, right? Let's talk about something that has value, eternal value. And so you could spend some time talking about Proverbs. And I think that that will help you let these truths sink in just a little more. So today we'll begin this series, Wisdom Speaks. I got to tell you, as I read through Proverbs, I could not help but my mind go back to my experiences on the Appalachian Trail. There's so many things in the book of Proverbs that makes me think about my backpacking experiences. I love to backpack. I've been doing it for a very long time. I actually started as a boy with my parents. I told a story last week about that. Actually, my family, we used to hike and backpack. And so some years ago, I decided I wanted to hike the whole Appalachian Trail. Now, there's no way I could take 4 or 5 months off and do it all at one pop. So I decided I would do it section at a time. And my next hike, which I will do in a few months, I will cross the halfway point. And I pulled out a map, and I looked at where I was going to be this next hike, the halfway point. But I got to tell you, that doesn't look halfway to me. It still feels a little short of halfway. But supposedly, I'm going to cross the halfway point. I'm pretty excited about it. The only thing is that I'm getting older, and I'm beginning to wonder, am I going to make it to Mount Katahdin? You know, am I going to make it without a walker to Mount Katahdin? I'm not sure. But little by little, I usually hike about 100 miles at a time and just do the best I can and move north. And I love doing it. You see some amazing things. And here's the thing about the Appalachian Trail. It's actually a wonderful trail. There's usually markings on the tree. There's usually signs along the way. A lot of the time, the trail is really clear. I got a picture here. This path, this actually was in northern North Carolina, just a little south of Virginia. And it was kind of near a road, so the path was very well marked. It seems like that may have even been fine gravel. I can't remember. That was a while back. But it was very well-defined path. But the tops of the mountains were bald, and it was beautiful. You went across these mountains, you could just see for forever. It was awesome. In this next path picture, if you can imagine, you can see the path winding. It's no longer gravel as you move on up the mountain. It just becomes dirt, but it's still well-defined. But imagine hiking that path in the winter. There's no trees with markers. It's just a path. Imagine in winter if the path is covered with snow. Imagine if the path is covered with a lot of snow. In my book, I start out telling a story about what happened with my brother and I as we did a hike in February 1 year and got in a pickle because we couldn't find the path. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? You didn't know what direction to go. The path was not clear in front of you. I'm not talking about hiking in the woods. I'm talking about life. Have you ever been faced with a predicament where you had to make a decision, but you didn't know the right decision to make? And you knew that your decision would have huge consequences, not only on you, but on your family, on your friends, on your church. Life is really about choices. And as I read through Proverbs, I see this presented to us over and over and over again, the challenge to be careful, to think wisely, to seek the Lord, to follow His leadership. Actually, the book of Proverbs to me is very much like a book I might buy to provide guidance to hike the Appalachian Trail. I mean, it's really like a guidebook to life. Here's how you do life. Here's how you make these kinds of decisions. Here's how you follow the Lord's leadership. It's very practical. It addresses just about every issue of life. And it's very real. I could see myself in it all throughout every page. Now this morning we're going to begin this study in the first chapter of Proverbs. So if you'll find your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I also have the scripture up on the screen. I'd like to read these first four verses and just set up our study. That's what I want to do today, is just set it up. I want to talk some about why God gave us this wonderful book. Now you'll notice right off, the very first verse says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Right off, the scripture tells us that these Proverbs were written by Solomon. But now here's the thing we've got to hold on to. Solomon did not sit down and say, I think I'm going to write a book of Proverbs. He didn't do that. Just through his life, he just wrote short little statements, little two-phrase statements of wisdom. It's just what he did. He just wrote little things down that he would pass on, little sayings that he would share with people. The book of Proverbs, much of it seems to be addressed to maybe his son or maybe to a young boy in his life that he had influence over. And so he would write these short little statements to help them make decisions in life. And that's what a proverb is. Now you're going to find that as you read through Proverbs that Solomon was not the only human author that contributed to this biblical book of wisdom. There were other authors that God used, other human authors God used to write the book of Proverbs. We say that Solomon wrote it because he probably wrote most of it. But there were a few others who added it along the way. Some of it was compiled later. Hezekiah actually took some of Solomon's Proverbs and compiled them later and added it to it. So it was kind of a process that God used to pull it together for us. But it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and understand and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. These few verses offer for us a statement of purpose, really, for the whole book. And I want us to focus on this morning. I want to throw this out real quickly, because as you read through Proverbs, you're going to see this quality, which is true of other Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry is oftentimes written in couplets, little statements of two statements put together. And sometimes these little couplets are synonymous. You'll see like one phrase and then the second phrase sort of says the same thing. Now here's the thing that you can do whenever you see a synonymous couplet like that. You can see it as sort of a commentary. Like the second half of the couplet is going to give you a little more insight as to what the writer was saying in the first half of the couplet. So it's a little commentary, a little statement. You'll see an extra word in the second half that'll give you deeper insight as to what he's saying with the first half. So as you read through Proverbs this summer, and I hope that you will do that, I hope that you'll read through Proverbs. It's only 31 chapters. You could say during June you're going to read it, and then July you're going to read it again. You could read Proverbs twice during the summer and really let it kind of soak in. And you'll see that quality of those synonymous couplets. Matter of fact, in this verse 2, you'll see a synonymous couplet, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. You can see how the second phrase sort of repeats the first phrase. It has a similar truth to it. Now, there's another style of couplet. I just call it a continuous. I don't really know what to call it. I just said I'm going to call it a continuous couplet. And that's where it starts with a phrase and it just continues in another direction. So it's not repeating something. It's just kind of continuing a thought. You actually see that here in verse 3. To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. It's just a continued thought. It's not a synonymous statement. There's a third type of couplet that you'll see a lot in Proverbs. It's not in our text this morning, but it's a contrasting couplet. For example, Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So you can see how that contrasts. And you'll see that in the book of Proverbs as you study it. So I hope that this summer you'll take this very seriously, and you'll just ask God to teach you through the Proverbs as you read through it. And what does God want to show you about life, about your decisions, about the issues that you're facing now? Now, what is God going to do then this summer as you read through Proverbs, as we read through Proverbs, as we study it together? Well, here's a few things from this passage. First of all, I want us to see that God wants you to know wisdom. That's what he lays out. Matter of fact, through the book of Proverbs, we'll see the word wisdom repeated over and over and over. We actually put the book of Proverbs in a section of Scripture called the Wisdom Writings. And so wisdom is a key component to this teaching. Verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Now, there's three key words that are going to be used synonymously to convey this truth. The first one is wisdom. Wisdom, it's a statement of that's practical. It's about practical living. It's about doing life. And I think that's one reason that Proverbs has gained so much traction in the hearts and minds of people as we read it. Because we read this book and we realize that it is so practical. It just helps us with everything about life. It gives us guidance about everything that we're facing. Parenting, marriage, employment, employees, leadership, on and on and on. You'll see all throughout this wonderful book. So it is very, very practical. So wisdom is going to be a key word in the book of Proverbs. And as we think about this word, I kind of gave this as a definition, or help us to understand the meaning of this word. The Hebrew word that's oftentimes translated wisdom basically means skill or expertise in living. Skill or expertise in living. You know, we need that. We need some skill and expertise in living. Here's the thing about it. We learn so much as we do life, don't we? I mean, wouldn't you love to go back and do some things over again? Oh, boy, if I could go back and do some things over again, I could hit some home runs, whereas last time I struck out. I mean, wouldn't that be great if you could just do it again? But here's a memo. We can't. You can't go back and start over again. But you can start from here and make a brand new end. And so the challenge that we have is to somehow gain skill and expertise in living before we live, before we deal with the stuff we're going to face tomorrow, before we have the challenges that are going to come across our paths next week, next month, next year. We need skill and expertise in living. We can look around us in our culture today and see that Americans do not have skill and expertise for living. Just walk around, watch people, just look at people. Look at people doing life. Look at the decisions that people make. Look at your own decisions. We lack skill and expertise in living. I came across an interesting article a few weeks ago. It was put out by the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I have no idea what that is. Kind of scares me a little bit, but they said that as many as half of all households with Americans 55 and older have no retirement savings at all. Almost half. Almost half of Americans who are 55 or older have zero ready for retirement. Zip. Wouldn't you say that we need some skill and expertise in living? If we're not ready for that chapter in our life, we've made some mistakes along the way. We need a mid-course correction. We need skill and expertise in living. Did you see the article that came out, the story came out a few, I don't know, maybe a week ago now, I guess. In February of 2018, this year, 30-year-old Michael Rotondo, I guess is how you say his name, Michael Rotondo's parents began giving him notices that he had to move out of their house. Okay, he's 30 years old. Son, you got to move out. You got to grow up. You need to be a man. So they started giving him notices. And then they even gave him $1,100 to help him find a place to kind of push him out of the nest. He thanked them for the $1,100 and he still didn't leave. His parents finally sued him to make him leave. And here's the amazing thing. I heard him interviewed on Fox News, and you know what he said about his parents? And you know what he said about this whole thing? He said, "This is outrageous." He's right, it is outrageous. Unbelievable. Would you say that we need some skill and expertise in living? Now, here's the question. Whose fault was that? Both of them. Mom, dad, son. They're all to blame because we need skill and expertise in living. We see some bad mistakes being made along the way. They need the book of Proverbs. We lack skill and expertise in living. So as a whole, we don't know how to live. As a whole, Americans are making bad choices every day. We don't know how to be happily married. We don't know how to raise respectable children or to plan for our futures or to be productive at work. We don't know how to seek God. And so God has given us the book of Proverbs to give us skill and expertise in living. That's what His Word's all about. That's why here at Sunrise we say that God's Word is a source of truth and a guide for life. It really is. God's given us His Word for that. He's given it to us not just to read so we have these nice stories. He's given us His Word so that we can read the Word of God and gain skill and expertise for living. Think about the message of Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A light to my path. See, we need a light to our paths. Now, sometimes when I backpack, this is not a good idea. I'll just tell you, don't do this. But sometimes I'm pushing it a little bit and I hike into the night. I'll hike sometimes for a while into the night. It's not really wise. You could sprain your ankle. There's all kinds of things that could happen. One particular hike, I got caught up in a horrible storm and I was hiking by myself and I was hiking along and I was really trying to do more miles than I should. And it was in the, it was a little later in the year. It got darker a little earlier. And so I just continued to hike on into the night. I put on my little headlamp. It's raining. It was miserable. These are the kind of times you're like, why am I doing this? You know? And I was hiking along. And it was raining so bad that some of the path was like a stream. And sometimes you weren't real sure if you're on the path or if you were just walking down a creek. You know? I mean, it was just bad. And I looked up into the foggy mist in front of me and I saw these glowing eyes. And that kind of made me a little nervous. And so I began to ask myself, what is that looking at me? And it's not running. So it must be bigger than me if it's not running. You know, it just made me a little nervous. And I began to think about at night driving home to my house here in Noonan, and there's like 500 million deer that live around there. And the eyes on the deer at my home glow white. I've seen the eyes of bears at night. They glow red. So if you see a red glow, run. This was a white glow. So I figured it was either an angel or it was a deer. And so as I got close, it was the biggest buck I've ever seen in my life. But I was walking at night, and I said to myself, you know, this is not smart to walk at night. But you know, sometimes you just have to. And you know, some of us, I think, are walking along through life, and we're stumbling along, and we're really in the dark. We're really clueless about what to do. But we have to keep walking. You can't just stop. You can't just throw up your tent and say, well, I'll just live here for the rest of my life. No, you've got to make the decision. You've got to take the next step. You've got to move in a certain direction. And so what do you do? The Word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. We need skill and expertise for living, and that is going to come from the Word of God. Not only is Proverbs given to us for wisdom, but it's also given to us. I use the word discipline. I know the scripture, verse 2, says to know wisdom and instruction. This word instruction, matter of fact, some of your translations may use the word discipline. The word that's translated instruction can also mean discipline. It carries both aspects of it. And I'm going to address both of them in just a moment. But here's the first aspect of this. Discipline can mean to be trained through punishment in response to failure, but it can also point to the rigorous training and experience we go through to avoid failure. Discipline. It's being taught, it's being instructed through the exercise of life. It's being instructed through sharpening our mind. It's being instructed through training our bodies. It's being instructed through seeking out guidance from other counselors and on and on. So discipline is disciplining ourselves, learning through the experiences of life so that we can make better choices. But this particular word that's translated discipline or instruction has an idea of a moral angle to it. It's moral discipline. It's moral instruction. It's learning to make the right choice, to do the right thing. It's kind of like what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for godliness. I like how one theologian addressed this, David Wells. He said, amidst all of the abundance and the technological marvels of our time, what is true and what is right have lost their hold upon our society. They have lost their saliency, their capacity to shape life. Today, our moral center is gone. It is not merely that secularization has marginalized God, relegating him to the outer edges of our public life from whence he becomes entirely irrelevant, but we have also lost our understanding of ourselves as moral beings. In our private universe, as in that which is public, there is no center. And that's really what Proverbs is saying. Proverbs is saying, God is saying through Proverbs, I want to help you find your moral center. I want your moral center to instruct your decisions. I want your moral center to help you make the right choices. I want the moral center to discipline your life so that you don't go off a cliff in your life, that you go down the right path, that you choose wisely and carefully. Discipline. Not only discipline, but understanding. Notice again in our scripture, it says to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Understanding. Now, this is really an intellectual thing. It's to sharpen our minds. It's to analyze things. It's to look at things. To understand what's going on around us. God wants us to have the ability to analyze our circumstances and to understand how to respond properly. He wants us to think. He wants us to plug our brains in. Sometimes we go through life and we are so brainless. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever just watched people and said, I think they left their brain at home? And then have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and said, you know what, I think I must have left mine at home too. We do some of the dumbest things. And what God is saying is, I want you to think. I want you to seek understanding. I want you to look at the circumstances of life, and I want you to make wise choices. I love 1 Chronicles 12:32. It's just a little blurb thrown in this bigger story of David gathering some men to help him in this crisis of his life. This is King David back in 1 Chronicles. And in this list, it's telling of all the people who came to help him in his predicament with Saul. Just look at this. I just put this little section from 1 Chronicles 12:32 on your notes. Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. I know that's just a sentence fragment, right? Just thrown right in there. But you see, he's given this list of people who's coming to help him. And here's some, the sons of Issachar. And look what it says about these men, the sons of Issachar. They were men who understood the times. They were men who had their brains plugged in. They were watching what was going on. They were men who knew how to make wise decisions because they analyzed and they thought and they processed. And I really think that's what Proverbs is challenging us to do. Think. God gave us a brain. Use it. Look carefully. Analyze what's going on. Seek the Lord for the reality of what's before you and choose wisely. Now, this particular focus of understanding, this intellectual understanding, is really the idea of discerning good from evil. You see, we live in such a world where sometimes that's all mixed up. Satan is working really, really hard to muddy the water of truth. He's trying real hard to make us think that good is bad and bad is good. It's so ridiculous that now evil is being taught in our school is normative. We're seeing that things being presented in our society is acceptable and it is not acceptable in the eyes of God. And this idea of this passage is saying, as we read through Proverbs, as you do life, you need to look at what's going on, and you need spiritual discernment. You need understanding to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. And just because somebody says it's good does not mean that it's good. And we need to get that. And Proverbs is going to challenge us with this. As we read through it, we're going to be challenged to look at our own lives, to look at the world around us, and be understanding. So God wants you to know wisdom. Notice the second thing that we see from this. God wants you to receive instruction. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Now, instruction not only means discipline, as we've talked about, but it does also mean knowledge that sets us on the right path to success. Knowledge that's going to set us on a right path to success. Notice verse 3 says we are to receive instruction. We're to take it. We're to make it our own. We're to read through the pages of Scripture, and we are to receive it into our life. This is not like cramming for a test. I know none of you did this, but I was like the cram king at times when I was in school. I'm grateful God gave me a great memory, but that can have pros and cons. The con is that I can fill my brain up with everything I need for a test, and I can go in and spew it out, and then 10 minutes later, I'm clueless. And I'm afraid some of us are doing life that way. It's like we're cramming for a test, and God says, no, I want you to receive this instruction. I want it to be engrafted into your life. I want this to define who you are. I want it to fill your being and your soul. I want it to shape your character and mold you from the inside out to receive the instruction of God. And that's the idea as we read through Proverbs. God wants us to take this. These are just nice little thoughts. These are truths. These are realities that we can take to the bank. We can build our lives upon these truths that God has presented in His Word. Receive them. Now, what does He want us to receive instruction on? He says in wise behavior. We've already talked a great deal about wisdom. But we're going to see that Proverbs is not just about thinking wise thoughts, but rather doing wise things, living wisely, putting this to practice in our lives to choose carefully, to live well. God doesn't just want us to learn how to live right. He wants us to actually live right. You know, there's a difference. And I'm afraid that a lot of us as Christians, we know how to do stuff, but we don't do it. You know what I'm saying? And as we read through Proverbs this summer, we ought to go before God and say, God, I really want to receive this instruction. I want it to impact my life. I want to be changed in 2 months. I want to be a different man, a different woman, a different young person. I want to be different because the Word of God has impacted my life. Wise behavior. Gandhi was once asked by a close friend, if you admire Christ so much, why don't you become a Christian? It's a great thought. Here's what Gandhi said. When I meet a Christian who is a follower of Christ, I may consider it. What a challenge for us. Why do we just fill our heads with knowledge, but we don't receive instruction? We don't let it shape our life and mold our character. I love Joseph Stoll. He wrote a wonderful book called Following Christ. He said, when non-Christians see us, they see more of our distorted portrayal of Christianity than they do a clear reflection of the character and quality of Christ. That ought not be. The world ought to see Jesus in us. Our character ought to reflect the presence of Jesus. Our decisions ought to reflect the lordship of Christ in our life. Our relationships ought to ooze the love of Christ. People ought to be able to see us and know what God is like. So God says, I want you to gain instruction in wise behavior. But not only wise behavior, but also righteousness. Receive instruction in righteousness, He says. Now we're going to see as we read through Proverbs that righteousness begins with God. It starts there. You see, Proverbs and all of the Word of God is not just challenging us to reform. It's not just challenging us to change our ways. You see, righteousness begins with God. It begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:24 says, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, who has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. A relationship with Christ leads to right living. When we're following Jesus, The scripture actually uses the imagery of putting on the righteousness of Christ. It's like we get dressed in the morning, we put our clothes on. It's like putting on Jesus, putting on the righteousness of Christ. It's living in His righteousness every day. You see, right living begins in our hearts before it's ever expressed in our lives. Now, we're going to see that Proverbs talks a lot about success, but success begins with our relationship with Jesus. If you read my book, you're going to come across this statement. In our culture, we typically tie success to finances and accomplishments. God, however, connects success to obedience and character. Obedience and character. That's what God's concerned about. We make such big deals about bottom lines. You know what God's bottom line is? Surrender. Are we walking in surrender to Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ really the Lord of our life? Are we submissive to His leadership? That's the instruction He wants us to gain, the instruction in righteousness. But He also talks about justice and equity. We'll talk about this more because Proverbs deals with this. But He wants us to be instructed in justice and equity. This relates to how we treat other people. Proverbs has a lot to say about how we treat other people. There's so much in there. There's stuff in there about marriage, about parenting, about your relationships at work, about relationships with your neighbors, all kinds of relationships with your enemies. I mean, just relationships. God says we ought to treat people with justice and equity. In other words, that means to treat people fairly. I like how the New Living Translation renders this. It says to help them do what is right, just, and fair. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do what is right, just, and fair as we relate to other people. Now, we don't always think about doing the right thing. We don't always practice the golden rule, but we should. Think about the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Jesus said, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Did you catch that? This is the law and the prophets. Jesus is saying, okay, here's a summary of the Old Testament. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Wouldn't that be just a great policy? If we could just say, okay, here's my life rule. I'm going to treat other people the way I want to be treated. Wouldn't that change everything? Wouldn't that impact everything? And so someone at the store is dropping their stuff, you know, and you stop and help them. Because if that were you, you would want somebody to help you treat other people the way you want to be treated. Two cars come together and you want the same parking place. You're one of them. You back up and let the other guy have it. You treat people the way you want to be treated. You encourage your wife because you want to be encouraged yourself. You build up your children, treat others the way you want to be treated. Everything about life is impacted by this golden rule. God says He wants us to have instruction, to receive instruction on justice and equity. The third thing that we're going to see in our study of Proverbs is that God wants you to gain insight. Look at verse 4, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. Prudence. Now, some translations may render this in various words. Most of the translations use that word prudence, it seems, that I could find. Prudence basically means insight in the practical affairs of life. Insight in the practical affairs. Just the day-to-day stuff we got to do. God says, I want you to gain insight in how to do stuff and how to live life. However long you're going to be here, God says, I want to help you with that. I want to give you insight as you make decisions every day. Now, you can see similarity with the words wisdom and understanding and insight. All these sort of overlap. They're building upon one another, certainly. The bottom line is that God wants us to get it. He wants the lights to come on. He wants understanding to seep in. He wants His truth to impact our daily decisions. He wants us to have insight. God wants your life to reflect your commitment. You see, it all starts with your commitment to Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Matter of fact, some of the things that Proverbs is going to teach us, it's got to be built on a relationship with Jesus. That's the starting point. We'll talk about that in another message. But that is the starting point. It's the foundation. It's the beginning line. Knowing Jesus. Do you know Him? Have you turned from your sins and trusted Him as your Savior? You know, He died for you and He died for me so we could have life. He died so we could have hope. He died so we could have wisdom, we could have understanding, we could have all these things that Proverbs is talking about. He wants His truth to be expressed in our living. So it starts with Him. Again, Joseph Stoll said, authentic Christianity is composed of non-negotiated followers who are progressively moving toward Christ and who understand all of life and all of this world in the context of his teaching and his truth. You see, God doesn't want us running on three cylinders when we're driving a four-cylinder car, you know? Many, many, many years ago, I was a youth pastor, and I was a kid. I was 18. I shouldn't have been a youth pastor, probably. I was 18. The kids were my age, right? And so I'm taking them on a camping trip. That's what you do when you're 18 and you love to camp. You take the kids camping. So we went camping, and one of the men in our church had a Volkswagen van. This is probably like a 1932. I don't know what year it was, but it was old. It was old. But he loaned it to us. We're going to drive his old Volkswagen van again, or whatever they called those things back then. And so we all pile in. We had some other cars too, but we all pile in this old van. I'm driving the van. And we're going up the mountains. We had a great time. It was so much fun. But when we were getting ready to come back, one of the cylinders went out on this old van. At least that's what I was told. I'm not a mechanic, but they said one of the cylinders went. All I know is I couldn't go over 30 miles an hour. And there was one hill in the mountain. I had to have all the kids get out and walk up. And I said, I'll pick you up at the top. You know, if we got to get out of these mountains, I got to get you home, you know. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. It took us forever to get home. I'm telling you, there's some of us, we are living life on three cylinders. And God is saying, I didn't make you that way. I didn't make you to plod along and struggle. I made you to soar on wings like an eagle. That's how I made you. And so I've given you this truth, God says, to impact your life. Now he says, God wants to give insight to the naive. Did you notice that? Some of your translations may use the word stupid. I got to tell you, when I was growing up, that was like cussing in my house. You know what I'm saying? You did not use the word stupid. If I had been in church and the preacher had read this verse in Proverbs and it used the word stupid, I would have gone home stunned that the preacher was cursing. Stupid's just a bad word. But this particular time, it's not used in derision. It's just making a statement of fact. See, this is a young person that Solomon has in mind. This young person is naive, lacking sense, because he just hadn't lived yet. He hadn't experienced life yet. And he says, I am writing to you because, son, you are clueless, and I want to help you. But here's what I know about me, and here's what I know about you. Some of us are no longer young, but we are still clueless. And God says, I'm writing to you. It's kind of like the guy who says, oh, no, I've got 30 years of experience. No, you don't. You have 1 year of experience 30 times. We're still clueless. We may be old, but we're not wise. We have not taken the truths of God and received them into our lives and planted them in our heart and allowed our lives to express those realities that God has given to us. We're naive. We all are. At some level. And God says, I want to help you with that. I want you to gain insight. So as we study this, I hope that we'll go before the Lord and we'll say, God, there is so much I don't know about life. There's so many decisions I'm going to make on down the road. I am clueless. And so I am coming to you to seek truth, to seek leadership, to seek guidance. And I am going to pour your word into my heart, and I'm going to receive this instruction into my life. And I'm going to pattern my steps after your truth. So I hope that will be our decision. And I want to challenge you to do that. God wants us to do that. Jesus said this in John 10:10. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. Full life. Let me ask you a question. If you look at your life right now, would you say that it's full? I don't mean busy. I mean abundant. I mean rich, filled, overflowing with joy and peace and meaning and purpose. Would you say that? If not, Proverbs is written for you. God's given us his truth so that we could have that abundant life. Now, as I read through Proverbs over these months, I started this a year ago probably. As I began pouring this into my own mind and heart, Proverbs is about a lot of things, but one thing, it is about choices. And you're going to see that as you study, and you've probably already read Proverbs, you know that. It's about choices, decisions that we make every day. And what God is saying to us through Proverbs is, I want to meet you at the crossroad of decision. And I want to help you choose wisely. One of my favorite poems is Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's the last few little phrases. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I believe that we're going to see that our life is filled with these two road decisions. Do I go right or do I go left? Do I do a U-turn? Do I go straight ahead? What direction do I go? Your decision will make all the difference. I want to challenge us this morning at the beginning of this study. Will we just say, God, through your power, through your presence, through your Holy Spirit's leadership in my life, I'm going to choose the road less traveled. I'm going to follow you because that'll make all the difference. Could we stand together, please, and let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for giving us this awesome book of Proverbs. What a blessing. Thank you for stepping into our life, into the minutes that tick by every day, and providing for us leadership and guidance. Lord, may we this morning just acknowledge in our own minds, our own hearts, that first this journey begins with a relationship with Jesus. There may be someone here that's not a Christian today, and maybe today they would choose Jesus. They would choose to surrender their lives to you, to turn from sin and self and turn to you and allow you to be the leader and the guide of their life. For all of us in this room, may we just in our hearts today begin this journey this summer to say, I want to choose that road less traveled by. I want to choose the truth of God. I'm going to choose your leadership, God, in my life. May that be our decision. So speak to our hearts, Father. May this be the wonderful beginning of something fresh and something new that's going to really make an eternal difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.